Psalm 119. If you'll stand out of love and respect for the word of God, please, if you're physically able. Here we are. Let's read one last time these eight verses, 169 through 176. This is the last representative of the Hebrew alphabet, the letter Tau. And we are going to read these eight verses, and then we'll kind of sum up these verses from this group. And then kind of as a little bow, just kind of go back and reiterate a few things about the wonderful word of God. Beginning together out loud in verse 169. Let my cry come near before thee, O Lord. Give me understanding according to thy word. Let my supplication come before thee. Deliver me according to thy word. My lips shall utter praise when thou hast taught me thy statutes. My tongue shall speak of thy word, for all thy commandments are righteousness. Let thine hand help me, for I have chosen thy precepts. I have longed for thy salvation, O Lord, and thy law is my delight. Let my soul live, and it shall praise thee, and let thy judgments help me. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandments. Well, here we are, the wrap-up message. We've been on a three-verse, three-verse, two-verse cycle through these eight-verse groups. And as we go through here, and we are kind of winding down to the very last two verses. Several weeks ago, we talked about verses 169 through 171. And how David was wanting things done according to God's word. You know what? That works for me, too. I like it when I can expect the outcome of something. That just makes me feel all warm and fuzzy inside. You know when things get a little hairy? When I can't know what the outcome is. You're just kind of like, you know, it's like, and some of you just like totally lose your mind. You know, I'm a pretty good roll with the punches kind of person. You know, fly by the seat of your pants, some might call it. I'm pretty good at that. But I do find solace and comfort in knowing the end of a thing. And in those cases where I'm kind of floating around, I know where I want to get to. I'm just not sure how I'm going to get there. Okay. But David said, I want these things according to your word. And then in verse 172, 173, and 174, David expresses how his tongue and his would speak of his word, God's word, that is, for all thy commandments are righteousness, David said. He said, let thine hand help me, for I have chosen thy precepts. And that David said, he said, I had longed for thy salvation, O Lord, and thy law is my delight. So once again, he reiterates his love and his trust in God and his word. And that not only is he going to trust it, he's going to tell others about it as well. Because guess what we're supposed to do? We're supposed to be witnesses of these things. Guess what the redeemed are supposed to do? They're supposed to say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. So let me come down to verse 175. David says, let my soul live, and it shall praise thee. And I just was thinking about that as kind of a conclusion. And what else do we have to live for? Just a thought. Many, many messages ago, I brought this thought to you, that without Christ, we really do not have life. We really don't. Life begins with Christ. It does. You say, well, I thought we were pro-life and life begins at conception. Well, yeah, physical life does. Going like this. Okay. That, absolutely. But you know what? Real life, life worth living, begins with Christ. And so he says, let my soul live and it shall praise thee. In Psalm 69, verse 32, the Bible says, the humble shall see this and be glad, and your heart shall live
that seek God. What other way is there to live than to day by day seek God? It reminds me of a verse. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Absolutely. The soul that seeks God is the soul that lives. The soul that seeks God is the soul that can praise God for who he is. In Psalm 104, verse 33, David said, I will sing unto the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. Wow. Just a few verses ago, as we talked about this, when David said, seven times a day will I praise thee. How many of you still think about that from time to time? Yeah. Hey, that's an eye opener. As long, he says, let my soul live and it shall praise thee. He says, I will, as long as I live, I'll sing unto the Lord. And I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. Take your Bibles and turn to Psalm 118, just one chapter back. It's a couple pages. Usually one chapter is like, you know, just a one swipe or two. Look at verse 14. David says, the Lord is my strength in song and has become my salvation. The voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tabernacles of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. I shall not die, but live, and declare the works of the Lord. The Lord hath chastened me sore, but he hath not given me over unto death. Open to me the gates of righteousness. I will go into them, and I will praise the Lord. This gate of the Lord, into which the righteous shall enter, I will praise thee, for thou hast heard me, and art become my salvation. Are you getting the idea that as God, if you will, spares us, as God who looked down from heaven and decided that we were going to be able to receive Christ as our Savior? You say, but he gave that to everybody. Yes, he did. And please don't conflict this. You know, he already knows who's going to be saved and who's not. Okay? Is salvation for everyone? Yes, it is. All right? But you understand that in his all-knowing, already knows the end of everything. Okay, so it's not that he chose me or chose you and didn't choose this person and didn't choose this person. We know God's not a respecter of persons. But in his foreknowledge, he knew who would trust Christ and who wouldn't. Aren't you glad that as he knew, you would choose everlasting life? You would choose to be born again? That he allowed that to happen in your life? Absolutely. Hey, he knew where you were going to be born. In what part of the world? In what family? In what area? And God allowed you to go through those circumstances according to his divine purpose for your life. Should we not live and praise him? We should. He says, let my soul live and it shall praise thee. Another psalm. I already read unto you Psalm 104. In Psalm 146, verse 2, he says, while I live, I will praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto my God while I have any being. Similar, but different. He said, even if maybe I don't have physical abilities, and maybe even I'm stuck in bed, and I'm still going to praise God. He said, while I have any being, I'm going to praise the Lord. In Matthew chapter 4, Jesus was dealing with the devil, and you know the devil was tempting him there in the wilderness, and he says, Jesus answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. What is your daily food? What is it that causes you to live? It's God and His Word. So therefore, He should be praised. Like I said before, we don't have life without Him. God is our life. Remember what Paul said in Romans? For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. It's our faith in God. And you know what? For by grace are ye saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. You understand that we have life because of Him. And because of that, we should praise Him all the days that we live. All the time that we have any being at all. Remember what Paul said? I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. Who's worthy of praise? Who's worthy of honor? Who's worthy of glory? Who's worthy of magnification? See, I think there was a phrase mentioned in the book of Revelation. Who's worthy? Who's worthy? Oh, it's Him, the Lamb that was slain. He's worthy of it. And we ought to be like David and say, let my soul live, and it shall praise Thee. You know, a lot of times in life, we say, let my soul live, and I get to do this. And let my soul live, and I'm going to do this. And if I live a little bit longer, I'm going to accomplish this. And I'm going to get this done. And I'm going to check this off my list. And, oh, big thing nowadays is a bucket list. I've got a bucket list. It's got one thing on it. Praise God. Right? I mean, isn't that kind of the essence of it? Let my soul live, and what am I going to do with it? What am I going to do with that life? I'm going to praise You. That's what I'm going to do. Let my soul live, and it shall praise Thee. Over in 1 Peter. Peter says, wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Sion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, that and he that believeth on Him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, He is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. We're now a people. We now have life. And what should we do with it? Show forth His praises. We should praise Him. Let my soul live, and it shall praise Thee. Go back to Psalm 119. Let's look at the second part of verse 175. Semicolon, right? And let thy judgments help me. Let thy judgments help me. He says, let my soul live, and it shall praise thee. And let thy judgments help me. Who or what is your help? You see, as human beings, we tend to rely on this thing. Right? Sometimes we tend to rely on this thing. Bad idea. This is not so great of an idea either. Hey, how about this? Let's rely on this thing. He says, let thy judgments help me. How do I know what to do? How do I know what direction to go? How do I know how to behave and how to act? How do I know how to think and what to do? How do I know about anything in life? It's all right here. Why would I try to formulate something other than what this says to do or to say? You see, why do I think I know any better than God and His judgments, His statutes, His precepts, His word, His commandments, His law? Is not God the ultimate being? And being the ultimate being, does He not know best? And if He knows best, which He does, and if He is the ultimate being, which He is, would He not instruct me how I ought to conduct myself? Yes, and He has. And He's faithful at it. So why would I turn to anyone else for help? What do they know that He doesn't? What do they know that this doesn't say? Well, you say, well, there's a lot of smart people out there. Well, okay. There's smart people out there, but God's smart. There's a lot of wise people out there. Well, okay. There might be. But God's wiser. Let thy judgments help me. David said, hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When thou saidest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger, for thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O Lord God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. In Psalm 40, David said, let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. Let such as love thy salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified. But I am poor and needy. Yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tarrying, O my God. We studied in verse 105 of Psalm 119. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Proverbs says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. God and His judgments are what ought to be our help in our lives. Take your Bibles and turn to John chapter 16. John chapter 16. And look at verse 13. Jesus here is speaking to His disciples. He says, howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. He will show you all things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I, that he shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you. Born again tonight? Saved by the blood of the crucified one? You have the Holy Spirit of God dwelling in you. His Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And guess what? He knows more than I know. He knows more than all the doctors and PhDs and psychiatrists and witch doctors and shrinks and whatever you want to call them. God does. The Holy Spirit does. He's going to bring all things to remembrance. He's going to guide us into all truth. He is the Spirit of truth. He is the comforter that dwells within the believer. You know that he's not going to tell us something that goes against the Word of God. He's not going to lead us in a path that goes against what God's Word says not to do or not to go. He's not going to do that. He's going to lead us as God wants us to be led. We need to make sure we let God be our help. We let the Holy Spirit be our help. We let the Word of God be our help. We've read this many times over the past year and a half. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Paul told Timothy, his son in the faith, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Can I just sum that up for you? It's profitable for help. That the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. In Psalm 73, the psalmist writes, nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. Thou hast destroyed all them that go a-whoring from thee. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works. One more scripture as far as this thing of God's judgments being our help. Over in Hebrews chapter 4. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our profession, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. He's our help. And don't forget, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. I've told you many times, countless times probably, that God and His Word are inseparable. They're inseparable. He says, let my soul live, and it shall praise thee. And let thy judgments help me. Let God's Word help you. Let God help you. Let the Holy Spirit help you. You say, what do you mean, let? It's our choice. It's our choice. Choose wisely. Choose correctly. Make that choice. And live. And praise Him. And let Him help you. Go back to Psalm 119. Last verse. Last verse. I like how this ends. I got to thinking about this, just sitting in my office and pondering these things. And it says in verse 176, think about this. It's the last verse of all these verses about God's word, right? His judgments, his precepts, his statutes, his word, his law, his commandments. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandments. I was kind of taken aback by that a little bit, and just thinking about the last thing that there was to say about this. You know, it's the last verse of the last group of the last letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And he says, I've gone astray like a lost sheep. I mean, you just penned 175 verses about the Word of God. And about how to stay on the right path, right? And how to stay in tune with God. And I've gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant. But then I realized how appropriate this is for the last verse. You know, we got to keep in mind, over and over again in the Bible, it talks about how so-and-so, this king and that king of Israel or that king of Judah, they did well until they thought they were doing well. They did good until they were strengthened in themselves. You know what happens? We get all proud. We get all lifted up. And then we fall. That's what happens. Doesn't pride come before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall? Hey, you know, Saul wasn't doing a bad job as king. Until what? It was time for the sacrifice. And Samuel was late. So I'll just offer the sacrifice. Not your place, pal. Who do you think you are? Well, I'm the king. I'm head and shoulders above everybody else in Israel. Yeah. You know, it was a time when kings were supposed to go to war. Who stayed home? Oops. Time and time again. You understand that I got to thinking about this. Like, you know what? Yeah, this is appropriate. Hey, listen, I hope that your relationship with the Word of God has grown over this last year and a half. I do. But don't get to a point where you say, wow, yeah, I got this book licked. I know it cover to cover. Hey, I've said before, this is my opinion. I promised you I'd always tell you if something's my opinion. It's my opinion that our finite gray matter here cannot exhaust this book. I just think it's that vast. You know, I forget things from day to day, let alone, you know, or how many of you have tried to read your Bible through in a year, right? And you get through the Bible. And then the next year, you start over again and you start reading something, you're like, what? That's in the Bible? I didn't know that was in the Bible. You know, it just kind of works out that way, doesn't it? He said, I've gone astray like a lost sheep. Let me just stay there for just a second. How appropriate is it that the Lord calls us sheep? You know what? Sheep is dumb. And guess what? I'm using my southern vernacular now. we is dumb. You know what sheep like to do? Wander off. Get in trouble. Graze here. Oh, that looks good. You know what happens if you take a sheep to a river? They're so dumb, they wade in for a drink and drowned. Their wool gets too heavy. They're dumb. And so is we. He said, I've gone astray like a sheep, like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant. You know what? The Lord seeks us, doesn't he? We love him because he, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. You didn't go looking for God. He came looking for you. Aren't you glad? You know what Jesus said? Hey, I've come to seek and to save that which was lost. He's looking for us. He wants to have a relationship with you. It says, draw nigh to God and he'll draw nigh to you. Right? Should we not be looking for him? Yes. But even if we're not, he's looking for you. He wants to have a time with you. He wants to be with you and to meet with you. And we should want to meet with him. You understand that if a man have 100 sheep and one of them be gone astray, doth he not leave the 99 and goeth into the mountains and seeketh that which is gone astray? Let me ask you a question. When you get away from God, what does he do? He tries to bring you back. Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. You know what the shepherd does? He sees the sheep wandering away, takes that old crook. Come back here. Right? And if the sheep wanders away again, he takes the crook and he might whack the sheep a little bit. And in extreme circumstances, if a sheep keeps wandering away, the shepherd will break the leg of the sheep so it can't wander away. You say, oh, animal abuse. No, he loves the sheep. He wants the sheep to stay put. He wants the sheep not to be attacked by the wolves. Not to be killed. Seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandments. I think David eloquently expresses to God his humanity, his frailty. He knows himself. He says, God, I do not forget your commandments. I really don't, but I'm just dumb. I'm just a sheep. Lord, please seek me. God, don't let me get too far away. As the song says, prone to wander, right? I mean, we do go a whoring after other gods sometimes. We do leave God. We backslide. We turn our back on God. We quench the Holy Spirit of God. Aren't you glad he doesn't give up on us? Aren't you glad he just doesn't leave us shipwrecked and wasted and say, oh, well, I'll just try again with somebody else. No. You know, he could have done that with mankind. Think about it. God created man. His own name is perfect. Told him, put him in the garden to dress it, gave him a helpmeet. He said, hey, here's the rules. Rule number one, don't eat of the tree. What's rule number two? There isn't one. I mean, that's it. Man sins. God could have come down and said, hey, well, pal, you blew it. Let's start over. Let's see. Let's see if this little lump over here, maybe if I make his head a little bigger. No. Could he not have started over? Why did he have to go through all this? Why did he put all this in place? Well, I think it's summed up in John 3:16. For God so loved. He loved us. So much he sent his son to die on the cross, to become our salvation. And as I had said already, to seek and to save that which was lost. Well, go to Psalm 19 as we close. I guess I have a minute while you're flipping there. Don't you find it interesting in Jesus' ministry? He went looking for the woman in Samaria. They went across the sea to Gennesaret to find that man that was out of his mind. That he came to Jericho, and there was this little guy named Zacchaeus who was trying to see Jesus, but he didn't know that Jesus was trying to see him. He said, Zacchaeus, come down. I'm going to your house today. He knows my name. He's looking for you. Are you there in Psalm 19? Look at verse 7. You say, this is not in Psalm 119. I know it's not. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. You want the best that God has for you in your life? You'll find it here. To our graduates of our home school, and we had one that graduated from Christian school, our church gave them a Bible, and I wrote it in there, something that I first came into contact with, a Bible my wife had received from her parents. It just simply says, this book will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from this book. It will. We need to love it. We need to live it. We need to read it. We need to desire it. We need to long for it. We need to heed it. Do what it says. Let it be our guide. Let it be the lamp unto our feet and the light unto our path. Let it be our everything. The wonderful Word of God.